We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Breakfast Ball. I'm Ben Charleston, joined by Ryan Hannibal. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. So last weekend, we get our first live golf event since the second round of the Players' Championship was called off.
Right.
So it was nice to have back. It was different. It was only four guys, you know, McIlroy, Fowler, Johnson, and Wolf. But it was nice to see. It was nice to see live golf on TV in, what, 2 months?
Yeah, basically 2 full months. It was good. Like you said, it wasn't the standard PGA Tour event where you had, you know, multiple players or just one group. But I liked it. I watched pretty much from start to finish. And I was entertained. I mean, it wasn't like the normal, like I said, not the normal round of golf, but I thought the four of them did a good job. And for what it was, I thought it was not better than I expected, because I expected it to be pretty good, but it was solid.
Yeah, I agree. It was interesting. It definitely seemed like they got looser, kind of talking shit to each other, giving each other crap as the round went on. It seemed like they were a little tight early on. But yeah,
so it was almost like forced early on. Like, they had production meetings where, like, can you guys try to play up, you know, the banter and back and forth. But you're right, as it went on, they kind of got looser and more comfortable around each other, especially in Matthew Wolf's case, who probably didn't really play many rounds with Rory and Dustin before Sunday. So they definitely got more loose as it went on.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely tell Wolf early on was not comfortable at that, I guess. But the thing that surprised me the most about that whole round, I didn't realize how long Wolf was off the tee. He absolutely bombs it with that weird swing. I have no idea how he hits the ball as flush as he does every single time, but I didn't realize how long off the tee he was, and that surprised me of that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's probably not swinging as hard as he did in that, and you know, a regular event, because he had Fowler out there with him. But yeah, like when he lets it go, he was out driving DJ and Rory, the two, you know, best drivers on tour. So that's, you know, we talked about it last week, sort of his coming out stage could be in that event. And I thought he did pretty well for himself. Like you said, he kind of showed off his driving distance. So he sort of gave that one thing for fans to take away that, hey, like, this is Matthew Wolf. He can, you know, hit the ball pretty far.
Yeah. And he definitely, you know, he gave DJ shit a couple times on one of, like, he was in the sand at one point. Yeah. It wasn't the bunker and kind of gave him crap. And it didn't seem like DJ was a huge fan of it. But it was like one of those things where it was funny. I think the fans enjoyed it. And I like seeing them carry their own bags, no caddies. It was all themselves reading the putts, reading the distance. Yep. And it's much more, I guess, like a relaxed feel to it, and kind of see how they play by themselves when it's not the PGA Tour event.
Yeah, I thought you could see on a couple of putts that, like, there are misreads that maybe their caddies would have done better. You know, they can talk things through. And, yes, they had each other, but just not having your caddy there, I think, you know, impacted the putting a little bit. The other thing that stood out was Dustin Johnson. It was just, like, classic DJ. Like, it almost like he just realized that what he was doing, like, 2 days beforehand. Like, oh, this is on national TV. Like, oh, okay, I guess I'll show up and play. Like, you know, the first hole, what, he marked his ball with a tee, like, just classic.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the thing. He's just like, it's a fun round with me and my friends. We're just kind of hanging out. We're playing this course, and it's for charity. It's not a PGA Tour event where I'm going out there trying to win. It's just to have some fun, and it was. They were loose, and that was nice. That's what was enjoyable about it. Where, yeah, they weren't. Yes, they were winning money for charities. They obviously wanted to win, but it wasn't like they were locked in dead serious the whole time and trying to, I guess, outduel each other, I guess. I don't know.
One of the knocks that I had was sort of like how much they pumped up the money aspect for charity, like how it was like pressure putts. Like, I mean, I don't think Rory McIlroy was over some of those putts in the late rounds. Like, oh, this is $1.5 million on the line. Like, it's just, I thought that was forced. Like, there was really no pressure. Like, money was getting donated regardless, whether it goes to Rory's foundation or what they're playing for, or Ricky or Matthew. Like, there's still money giving away. So I don't think – I thought they played up the pressure part a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think they did too. It was – yeah, like there were moments where it's like they're going to get – the money's going somewhere for a good cause. So that makes sense. But, yeah, like I'm sorry. Rory putting for $100,000 to go to charity or him putting for, was it, $10 million on the FedEx Cup championship?
Or to win, you know, the U.S. Open. Like it's just not the same.
Yeah, so I think they were trying to do that to make it a little bit more drama. But I don't think you need the drama in it where they're going at each other a little bit. They're having fun. You didn't need that extra drama added to it to make it interesting.
Yeah, it was almost, you know, there was a close match. Where's that extra hole? So the pressure was sort of just there on the line. Like, I mean, same thing every week. You're playing with your buddies and you have a match. It comes down to the last hole. There is a little bit of pressure there, but it's not, you know, similar to a real PGA Tour major. So that was forced, but like you said, overall, it was nice, good to have golf back. I enjoyed watching it. You know, the players probably weren't at their top form, obviously.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely tell a couple shots where they were like, oh, all right, they did not hit that clean. Or,
yeah.
Like a shot like that happen. Maybe you would hit, and we're like, oh, okay, yep. That.
Right. But I think that was good. Like, that sort of showed what they are, and I think for them personally, it's probably a good little tune-up for them to, you know, get back into competitive play because they're coming back in less than a month now. So, yeah, I think it was a win-win for everybody involved. I'm sure it got decent ratings. And, you know, I thought it was a nicely done production.
Yeah, and I thought they did well on with the cameras and all that stuff following. I was kind of wondering how many cameras they would have there, like what type of stuff.
They said six cameras, which I thought they did a pretty good job with six.
Yeah, I thought it was well done. I thought it was going to be kind of like a one camera and you were going to have to follow from one angle. But, no, they did a good job with it. The few cameras, they gave you all the angles you needed, and it worked out well. It was a good show, good match. So I think all in all, it was a good event right there for them, and especially a good way to kick off them returning in June 11th.
Yeah, so less than, what is it, 3 weeks now? So we're getting pretty close, and I think that sort of having this match last Sunday and then this match coming this Sunday with Tiger, Phil, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning sort of just furthers that. That golf is pretty close, and you know we're getting back to the start of real sports. I think the golf is going to start to propel some of these other sports to come back as well. So it's a good sign for not only golf but just sports in general.
Yes, yes, it is. Like you were talking about. So this weekend we have the match. I think was it Charity of Champions?
The match. Yeah, yeah.
I've been calling it the match two.
Worked for me.
That was easier. We got Tiger and Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady playing at the Medalist.
Yeah, the Medalist in Hobe Sound, Florida.
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure is Tiger Woods' like home course.
It seemed like a lot of tour players play there.
I know it's a very limited membership, and yes, it's like the best of the best that are members there. So it'll be interesting to see that course because it obviously does not get a lot of TV time, I'd say. But, no. But not talking about that, we'll get to the actual match between these guys. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see – I know where Tiger is right now. Phil, obviously, two guys top of the PGA Tour. But I'm excited to see Brady, Manning, like what their golf game is like. Because you hear about them being big golfers, but Brady's still in the NFL.
Yep.
So he's obviously not playing a lot of rounds. And Manning's retired. So is he what type of golf shape is he in? And it'll be good to see those two, especially with the lead up, the interviews they've been doing, kind of going after each other. So it'll be interesting to see them on the course together and how loose they are together and kind of going after each other.
Yeah, I actually talked to Amanda Bellionis for a story this morning. She's going to be one of the on-course reporters for it. And she said that all four players are going to be mic'd up, obviously, but also have, what is it, IFB lines in their ears. So they can hear what other players are saying, you know, even Charles Barkley in studio and what everybody's JT, Justin Thomas, what they're saying. So they can kind of respond as they're walking. Like they don't have to be, it's on an interview format. So it's going to be more, I think they're going to promote more of the banter than we saw this previous match, just because I think you're going to get more of the casual fans watching this one, not just golf fans like last week. So I think the back and forth banter will be a bigger part of this, and I think that both all these guys have kind of done that leading up to it, like a lot of their pre-tournament or pre-match, you know, press availabilities and those Zoom calls were kind of about that. So that'll be good to see for sure. And then just their playing, like you said, like you don't really – you know what they can do on the football field, but on the golf course, you have no idea. Like, who knows? Maybe Tom Brady is going to shank one like we do. So that'll be cool to see and how he reacts and, you know, the shit that they give him for that. So just seeing Brady and Manning out of their element will be a good thing to watch.
Yeah, and I didn't know about the – that they're going to be able to hear all the interviews and all that stuff. That'll be great, hopefully. Where if Barkley says something there, they give him a hard time, and it'll be right. It'll be more like, yeah, like a guys just hanging out talking instead of having someone come up and like interview, like, oh, did you hear about this? Where
yeah, that's what she said. She said it's gonna be better than her just walking alongside Tiger after a tee shot, say, you know, what did you see here? Like, what did you see there? Like, you know, Tiger could miss a putt, and Charles Barkley could chirp in his ear, and then Tiger would have to respond right there. So I think that they've done a nice job of taking, you know, things to a next level of trying to get everybody involved and making it more entertaining.
Yeah, that'll be good. So you talked to James Driscoll, right?
Is that, yep.
Who plays on the Corn Ferry Tour. And he played with Brady, what, about 5 years ago now?
Yeah, it's 2014 at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He was actually Belichick's partner, and then Ricky Barnes was paired with Brady, but the four of them were in the same group for the first 3 days. So we got a chance to see Brady up close, and he talked about how basically – well, first of all, the Patriots had just lost in the AFC title game like 2 or 3 weeks before, and so Brady didn't really have much time to prepare to play golf. So he said the first round was a struggle. The second day you could tell he was getting better, you know, hitting some quality shots. He said his swing was decent. Then he said the third day, Tiger shot 33 on the front nine at Pebble Beach. That's 3 under par with an eagle on the second hole, and – it's pretty good. I mean, that's better than most players do. It's one of the hardest courses, you know, they play. Obviously, from different tees, it's not from the pro tees, but still, I mean, shooting 33 at Pebble Beach is really good. So
yeah, especially for a guy who had been playing football and probably had no practice rounds before that, to on the third day shoot a 33.
And so, you know, I don't think Tom Brady's been playing golf every day, but this is sort of his off season, so I wouldn't be surprised. And he knows his match is coming, so I'm sure he's played a couple rounds here or there. So I think Brady has played enough to, you know, get his game in decent form. So if that's true, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, Brady could potentially make some birdies and really shoot a good round.
Yeah. Well, with him and Manning, I feel like they're both just so competitive, and they know that this is coming up, and they're always compared to each other. Like, this is just another one for them where I think they'll have a good time, but deep down they're both trying to beat the other. They want to Brady wants to beat Manny. Manny wants to beat Brady on the scorecard, just to have that one more thing where he can be like, hey, yeah, you might have more Super Bowls than me, but hey, I beat you in the match. So
right. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a wager between them two, like lower score just there. And, you know, I think that's going to be good. I think you have sort of these two guys, and Tiger and Phil sort of rivals, and Brady and Manning's rivals coming together. And I think they all, I'm sure, I don't know if they've all played golf together before, but I think they've all hung out at some point, you know, just because of their stature. So I think they'll be comfortable around each other. And then talking to Amanda Baleonis, I guess they brought JT in because he's played golf with all of them. I guess he's mutual friends with them all and have played golf before. So he's going to try to be the guy. Like, if things are, you know, getting stale and there's not really much banter back and forth, he'll step in and try to, you know, get it back up again. So I think, you know, they're doing a good job of promoting this and getting the right people and doing the right things to make it this as entertaining as possible. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I like them bringing in JT to kind of be that guy and to give a little life to it if it is dying down. I think he's a good personality on the tour. He's obviously a top player on the PGA, and it would be good for them to have someone there who knows all of the guys and can kind of, you know, give them a hard time or get them to talk about certain things that, like, that they've had.
I'm interested to see Tiger too. I mean, we haven't really seen him much, and there's always been he played that West Coast swing, but I think there was rumors that he had one of the injuries flared up again, the back flared up, and his first tournament back was going to be the Masters. So we haven't seen him in a long time. So it'd be good to see how he's playing. And then also Phil, I mean, he's been kind of a mess this year. So, you know,
yeah, he's been like the past 2 years. Yeah. He's really fallen off. I don't know. I don't know what it is, like the yips or something with him. He hasn't been the same Phil that you're used to seeing. So, you know, with his time off, maybe both of them healed up, kind of got back into the zone, and we're going to see a really good match between them.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this one comes down to the wire like the last one did between Tiger and Phil playoff. And the other thing Baleonis said was that Tiger and Phil acknowledged that their last match, like the back and forth banter, wasn't great. It was forced. It wasn't good. And both players recognized that. So I think that's something that they'll be aware of and maybe use Tom and Peyton more for that aspect. So that'll be good to see too, that the players recognize that they were kind of awkward the last time and will hopefully improve on that before. And they can also take a look at what worked in the NBC match last week, what worked, what didn't work from a TV perspective too. So I think we'll see a better production this week than we did last week.
Yeah. And I feel like, like you were saying with the last one, it was a pay-per-view event, or it was supposed to be. And they're like, oh, like there's going
to
be,
yeah,
so
you're right. It was supposed to be, but then they messed up the thing.
Yeah. They just kind of like hyped it up. And it's like they're going to go after it, but and especially with this, they were playing for, I think, $10 million. It wasn't going to charity. It was a legit $10 million. Right. Like, so maybe they were a little bit more focused on that instead of, like, having a good time. Where this, it's like the same thing as last weekend. It's all the money's going to charity, but that money's already going to be donated, so there's not going to be that same, I guess, pressure. They can be a little bit more relaxed out there and be a little bit more carefree when they're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we've kind of seen Tyer come out of his shell a little bit in recent years, just more relaxed than he's been earlier in his career. So I think that – and Phil's always been one of the more looser guys on tour. So I think this could be not only good with Brady and Manning, but also Woods and Mickelson.
Yeah, and you've seen that with Brady now too, with him on social media and everything becoming much more relaxed and all that stuff. And Manning's always been kind of one of those guys where you see him like Saturday Night Live, his commercials. He's always been a pretty funny guy. So we'll see what he's able to do on the course.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested to see their games too. I mean, Manning, it seems like he's a 6 handicap. Brady's an 8 handicap. So these guys are pretty decent. So we'll just see how are they? Like, do they hit some great shots or do they hit some poor shots like you and me do on the weekends?
Yeah, well, and I like the format too, where it's best ball on the front nine and then that modified alternate shot on the back nine.
Yeah, so like – Manning and Brady can't just rely on Tiger and Phil, especially on the back nine. They actually have to hit some shots. So I think that'll be good pressure-wise too, and just be interesting to see how those guys, pan out when they actually have to hit shots that matter.
Yeah, that's why I like that they did it that way instead of doing like just best ball or whatever, that they do put a little pressure on Manning and Brady to actually see it is going to come down to these guys. It's not just Phil and Tiger versus each other. Their partners, Brady and Manning, will have to hit a shot at some point or have to contribute on that back nine to help them.
Yeah, and then the other thing that Driscoll said was just there's some short holes. 11 and 14 on the back nine are drivable par fours. He said like just over 300 yards. So he said there's a good chance that there'll be a lot of definitely birdies in those holes, but there's potential there for an eagle. So I think that'll be good too. Just holes that are interesting that aren't just straightaway par fours, that are hard. Like there are some holes that could, have birdies and eagles.
Yeah, to be honest, on these type of events, I want to see a high score. Like if you see like the U.S. Open, Pinehurst, like when they do like 7,600 yards, I'm fine with that if the score is even or minus one. Like you want them to be challenged with the best of the best, like they should be challenged. But on an event like this, I want to see them go as low as possible. I want to see birdies. I want to see eagles. I want to see that type of game. I want to see a shootout. I don't want to see them shooting plus one or even, and that's how they come in, where it's just par.
Right, when it's four guys, you don't want to see grinding out pars. You want to see, approaches stuck to 2 feet, long putts, long drives, going for greens in two, driving par four. So I think hopefully they'll seem like they recognize that. They'll probably set up the course a little bit easier for that, maybe move up a couple tees. So it should be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm excited. It'll be this Sunday on TNT and Bleacher Report, right?
Yeah, that whole Turner family. I think TNT, TBS, who knows, maybe even True TV, that network. And, on Bleacher Report, I think they're doing a pregame show too. So the Turner Sports family.
Yes, Turner Sports family. So everyone check it out this Sunday. It's going to be hopefully a great event. I'm excited for it. I know Ryan's excited for it. So we'll talk about next week with the results and if it turns out to be as good as we think it will be.
Yeah, and then we'll probably have some live or the PGA Tour coming back soon. We can talk about that more. Maybe some guys will commit to some tournaments. And then who knows, maybe Mass Golf will change their rules. Maybe carts will be back.
Yeah, we can only hope. With things starting to slowly open up in Massachusetts, maybe carts will be in the next couple weeks and we can enjoy it.
It hasn't really bothered me, honestly. I've enjoyed walking, but just for everyone else, like there's been a lot of bitching at my course but no carts, and so just for everyone else's sake, I wish they come back.
I do. Yeah, I have a couple friends who like refuse to play because they're not huge golfers, but they enjoy playing it, but they won't play if they can't ride in a cart. Like, they hate carrying the bag and all that stuff. So it'll be nice to have that back so I can have a couple more people to play with.
Hopefully that's the case for yours. My foursome, they walk, but they're not huge fans of it.
They do it reluctantly, like,
yes.
They want to play golf, so.
Exactly.
They're willing to sacrifice it.
And the other thing, actually, push carts. Like, my friends have been trying to find push carts. They're gone everywhere.
That doesn't surprise me at all, that.
Nobody can find a push cart. Like, my friend said he had one on Craigslist and emailed the guy, like, 3 minutes after it was posted, and the guy said, sorry, it's already gone. Like, this is the new hot commodity, push carts.
Yeah, push carts. Who knew? Who knew? Toilet paper, what, meat, and now push carts. That's
exactly.
Those are the things.
Exactly.
All right, Ryan, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you later, man.